This is Digital Story Podcast number 535, June 7th, 2016. Today's theme is To Raw or Not. I'm Derek Story. Many years ago, I was giving a digital photography talk and was covering the scenarios where I thought shooting raw was appropriate. A voice from the back exclaimed, "But why wouldn't you shoot raw all the time?" My answer was a simple, "Why, sir, I don't do anything all of the time." Now, years later, my opinion remains unchanged. To raw or not? I have three capture modes that I usually choose from when I'm shooting with my digital camera. Raw only, raw plus JPEG, and JPEG only. So I thought what we'd do today is play a game where I go over 10 scenarios. So I'll list a scenario, and then I'm going to pause and let you guess, would I shoot that in RAW only? Would I shoot that in RAW plus JPEG? Or would I shoot that in JPEG only? After the short pause, where you have a chance to formulate your answer, you're not going to have very long now, because otherwise that's what we call dead air space. And it's frowned upon in broadcasting. So after a few seconds for you to make up your mind what it's going to be, then I will give the answer and I'll explain why I'm choosing that particular approach for that particular subject or assignment. Okay, so this is going to be fun. This is fun. I have 10 scenarios and let's start doing them right now. All right, here's the first one. Now you have to guess, right? Auto race at a speedway. What's your answer? Okay, the answer is JPEG. JPEG only. That's right. Whenever I'm shooting something that has a whole lot of frames in my future, such as auto racing at a speedway, I shoot JPEG only. First of all, the burst mode on my camera works better. Second of all, I am accumulating a whole lot of content quickly, and so that saves me from having my cards fill up too fast. The camera performs better, and I end up throwing away a bunch of the shots anyway. Plus, the JPEGs, and this is an underlying theme for today's show, with most cameras, the JPEGs are really good. They're excellent. Now, I've mentioned before that when I shoot with my Olympus OMD EM 10 Mark II, for example, I'm going to super fine for the JPEG. So the largest size, super fine quality, and that is a really good file. That is a beautiful file. So for things like auto racing at a speedway, JPEG only. It saves file space, I have better camera performance, it makes storage easier afterwards, and I'm going to throw away a bunch of them anyway. Okay, next one. You ready? Number two. High school senior portrait. What's going to be my approach? The answer is RAW. That's right. RAW only for high school senior portraits. The reason being for this is because for a portrait, for assignment, I want to be able to tap the best quality possible. I'm not going to be sharing the senior portraits on social media or something right away. I don't need JPEG files. I'm going to do the shoot. I'm going to show the subject some of the pictures on the back of the LCD during the shoot. Then I'm going to go back to my studio. I'm going to upload the shoot. I'm going to do my normal workflow where I take two passes and I whittle the shoot down to about 50 shots that I think are good. I'm going to whittle those down to probably 35 or so. And then I'm going to do image editing on those. Not a total thing, not where I get rid of every blemish and every sort of thing, but where I'm making sure that the white balance is good and the cropping is good, you know, the basic stuff, global stuff. I'll take those raw files and I'll output them to JPEG and then I'll upload them to my SmugMug account and send the URL to the subject. So in this case, in this scenario, I want to have all of my options open. I'm going to shoot RAW only, and there's really no compelling reason for me to shoot JPEG. I'm not shooting that many shots. It's not action photography, and I don't need social media. So high school senior portrait, RAW only. Okay, you ready for the next one? Number 3, a wedding for hire. A wedding for hire. What's it going to be? Which of the three ways am I going to go? The answer is RAW plus JPEG. RAW plus JPEG. Now, on the RAW side of the equation, I need RAWs for weddings, because weddings are very challenging, especially when you have a bride in a white dress. Most likely you have a groom in a black tuxedo. And if it's a wedding that I get hired for, they're standing out in bright sunlight in the middle of the day. So I need to be able to open up shadows. I need to be able to recover highlights. For the final set of images, I need everything that a RAW file can give me to salvage those shots and to make them look good. Because you don't always have control over the lighting at a wedding. But I also shoot JPEG because more and more there's a social media aspect to weddings. And this has been particularly true for millennial weddings, in that I've been uploading JPEGs to a site during the wedding itself. During the wedding itself, I've been uploading JPEGs for the clients, for friends and family to grab and to put on their Facebook page, to share on Twitter, social media, whatever they're using. I have to make JPEGs available. And I don't have time to RAW process. I am, you know, right there. I have a little workflow where the JPEGs go from my camera via Wi-Fi to an iPad. I do quick sort as this is happening, usually on a break. And I'll send up, I don't know, maybe 25% of the shots on any given upload. Some just need too much work to go this way. I'll send them up to the site. They already have the URL. The images just appear during the course of the reception and on into the night. Because of that JPEG workflow there, I need to have those JPEGs and I need to have the RAWs. Weddings for hire, they are RAW plus JPEG all the way. Next one. Number 4, executive portraits for a commercial client. Executive portraits for a commercial client. The answer is RAW. Again, there's no need for any social media or anything like that for these shots. Most of the time I'm doing location portrait shooting. I'm bringing in the lighting. I'm going to their location. I'm shooting the shots. And I need everything that I can get out of those files. And RAW is the way to go on those. Leaves all of my options open. Again, I'm not shooting that many frames. A lot of times I don't even have that much time. So for my average executive client on these types of shoots, I maybe get 15 or 20 frames in. That's it, per person. Usually we try to group 2, 3, 4 if we can in a shoot, but I don't get much time with them. So the executive portrait shoot for a commercial client, that is RAW. Next one, number 5, son's birthday party. Son's birthday party. Or daughter. I don't have a daughter. Wish I did. I have sons, so I'm going to use sons for this example. And the answer is JPEG. JPEG, yes, indeed. There's no need for RAW files on this. I know the lighting probably isn't ideal, and a lot of times on these things, and I'll use Phil Flash if I need to or whatever, but I want to enjoy the event. You know, I want to enjoy the event. I'm a parent. And even though, yes, I'm taking pictures, I don't want to be fiddling around with the shots too much. I don't want to do a lot of post-production. You know, I want to be present. So in this case, I shoot JPEGs. As I mentioned before, the JPEGs out of my camera look great. I do super fine. I try to use fill light as necessary to help balance them out. And then they're going right up to somewhere online quickly, sharing with as many people who want them. And it's really a no editing process. Honestly, I just don't fool around with these things very much at all. So they are JPEGs, quick and easy. Make them look good in the camera while you're shooting and enjoy the event. Number six, family reunion. Family reunion. JPEG. For the same reason as a son's birthday party. There's a little difference in that on a family reunion, I may want to hide behind the camera. Son's birthday party, I want to be enjoying it. You know, I've got my kids there, got my immediate family and all that. Family reunion, a lot of times there's folks I don't know. And a lot of these sort of, you know, big party events are like this. And at some point, I get tired of doing small talk and I just want to take pictures, sort of hide behind the camera. That being said, I'm still shooting JPEGs because I don't want a lot of post-production on these things. I want to get them right while I'm taking the pictures. I want to upload them to whatever designated site or Facebook page or whatever we're doing has been established. And then I want to move on. I want to move on. And JPEGs work so great for that. So family reunion is definitely a JPEG event. Next one, number seven, European vacation. European vacation. Which way would I go for that? The answer is RAW plus JPEG. RAW plus JPEG. And the reason being for this, at least the way that I look at it, is that a European vacation, and it could be to Machu Picchu or somewhere else in the world, Asia, whatever. You get the idea, though. The thinking is that I'm not going to do a whole lot of these in my life. And so when I get to do something like this, it's a big deal. I'm spending a lot of money, chances are. I'm taking a major chunk of time out of my work. And since I work for myself, that means there's no vacation pay for me. No PTO for the digital story. So I'm also not making money. And I'm going somewhere that, you know, I really want to go. I really want to explore. I really want to see. So I want those RAW files because if I do get a shot or a series of shots that I think are very special, I want to be able to do everything that I can do with that shot. And a RAW file will allow me to do that. By the same token, as I'm bebopping around Europe, I'm posting on Instagram, I'm posting on Twitter, I'm posting on Facebook, and I want JPEGs for that. Because I'm probably doing that through my iPad. The images are staying on the memory cards. So the cards are going into an iPad or just Wi-Fi transfer to the iPad, picking out the JPEGs that I want, uploading those. And then when I get home, I'll back up those cards right away. And then I'll decide where they go. Capture One Pro, Photos for OS 10, Lightroom, whatever. In that case, I want those RAW files for the shots that I think are special so I can get everything possible out of them. So European vacation is one of those scenarios where I want everything. I want everything. I think it's a great RAW plus JPEG event. Next one, number eight, weekend backpacking trip. Weekend backpacking trip. I'd be curious to see what you guess for this one. The answer is RAW. Just RAW, no JPEGs. I don't need JPEGs for a weekend backpacking trip. There's no connectivity. I am not uploading to Instagram. I am not doing social networking. I don't even have an iPad with me unless I'm, you know, reading a book in the tent or something at night. So I am shooting RAW because I'm probably shooting landscape. I'm probably shooting at the edges of the day. I'm probably experimenting with night photography. I'm probably doing all sorts of stuff that I don't have a chance to do in my day-to-day work week. And having those RAW files for that type of work really allows me, when I get home, to have all of my options open and get everything possible out of those files. I'm probably not shooting a whole lot of content. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe 100 a day. Probably not even that much. Probably more around 50 or 60 a day, unless I really run into something spectacular that I want to work. So I'm not building up that many files. I don't have to take, you know, very much memory with me. It's a raw shoot all the way. It's a raw shoot all the way. So a weekend backpacking trip, that's a raw assignment. Number 9, fall color in the Eastern Sierra. I got one of these coming up, right? I got a workshop, fall color in Eastern Sierra, coming up here real soon. Well, in the fall. So what is that going to be? That's RAW plus JPEG. And you're going, wait a minute. Well, on a backpacking trip, you did RAW only, but on fall color in Eastern Sierra, you're doing RAW plus JPEG, and I am. And the reason being that when I'm doing fall color in Eastern Sierra, I'm bopping around to little motels. I'm around civilization. I may take a hike back up somewhere during the day, but I'm going to come back for dinner, and I'm going to come back for, you know, camping out in the motel room and all that kind of stuff. And when I'm back in civilization, I'll have internet connectivity. I want to be sharing those photos online. Again, the usual suspects, Instagram, Twitter, etc. And so having a JPEG is very handy on a trip like this because I can share it as it's happening. Yet, you know I want RAW files because if you get a shot or a series of shots that are really spectacular and you want to really control the color and the highlights and the shadows and everything, you're going to need a RAW file to do that. Even if it's only for 5 or 6 shots, having RAW on those 5 or 6 special shots makes all the difference in the world. So fall color in the Eastern Sierra, that is RAW plus JPEG. And finally, number 10, a semi-pro baseball game. Semi-pro baseball, because we're coming into baseball season. At least we are here in Sonoma County. We've got a team that plays up in Healdsburg. It's a lot of fun on summer nights to go hang out and watch them play. And that's JPEG. That's JPEG for me. And for a lot of the same reasons why JPEG for the auto race at the Speedway, I'm probably going to shoot a lot of frames. I'm probably going to be using high-speed motor drive. I'm probably going to toss a lot of them. And I'm probably going to want to share some of them right away. And for all the same reasons, then, JPEGs work great. I don't need RAW files. I mean, yeah, if there was a shot that I really liked and I really wanted to adjust the highlights and shadows, yes, a RAW file would be nice for that. But it doesn't outweigh just the bulk of the shooting that I have and how a RAW file would tax my camera just for that 1 or 2 files. So I shoot JPEG only for these types of sporting events, and the semi-pro baseball game that I'll be doing coming up here very soon, those will be JPEGs only. So how did you do? How did you guess right? You know, can you get into the mind of Derek? And how many times did you disagree? I'm sure there's a few of those scenarios where you go, no, I would do it completely different. If you have that, you know, and if you want to state your case, either in agreement or disagreement, I'm going to make sure the podcast is posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thedigitalstory. Hop on there and say, hey, you know what? For that weekend backpacking trip, I'm going to do RAW plus JPEG because blah, 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 or JPEG only because blah, blah, blah. And go ahead and state your case. It's fun. It's fun. Try to keep it semi-short. You know, don't go on too long because this might be one where I'd like to read some of the responses on next week's show. Because, you know, this decision-making, you know, RAW, JPEG, RAW plus JPEG, it's fun to see what other people would do and why. So I hope you enjoyed the bit, and I'll be curious to see what you say on Facebook. So going back to what I said earlier, as you can tell, I don't do one thing all the time. It's just not my nature. In the news. So this is kind of cool. This is coming back for the third year. Magnum signed square print sale returns for third year, as reported by DP Review. Signed or estate-stamped prints for $100 from over 60 Magnum photographers and artists will be available for a limited time from 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday, June 6, until 11 p.m. Friday, June 10, 2016, offering up museum-quality signed prints for just $100 each. Upwards of 70 prints are on sale from photographers like Martin Parr, Alex Webb, and Eve Arnold. Each photographer contributed an image that plays on the theme of the more or less decisive moment. The 6x6 prints are available for 5 days only, starting now through 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday, June 10th at shop.magnumphotos.com. So this is really kind of a neat thing to get a signed print, 6x6 signed print from a heavyweight photographer that you can have. You can have it on your wall for $100. You don't have to go to a gallery in New York City. You don't have to, you know, go through a bunch of rigmarole. You just go to this site, find a shot that you like, pay your $100, and there you go. And I just think it's cool. So like I said in the post here, it's the third year they're doing it. I love Magnum giving, you know, the rest of us opportunity to buy photography that we can put on the wall and tell a story about and enjoy for the years to come. Robust backups with Hedge. So I want to talk about a new piece of software here called Hedge, actually Hedge for Mac. And I've been testing it now for a bit. And it's backup software. Well, at least the way that I'm using it, it's immediate backup software. Let me give you the background on this. What it does is this software allows for really fast file transfers from one connected device to another. It has a very easy to use interface. You can tell right away what to do, and you can establish a designated folder or whatever, and then you just transfer. And this thing is lightning fast. The software is lightning fast. So the way that I've been using it is that when I have a card full of pictures from out in the field or from upstairs in the shooting room, the first thing I do is I put it in the computer and I use Hedge to transfer it to a fast external drive right away before there's a possibility of anything happening to that card, anything going wrong. And because Hedge works so fast and because it verifies the copy, which is a really important aspect of this, it verifies the data. So the data that ends up on the destination drive is verified and you know it's solid. And then I can go about my business. And then what I've been doing is later on that evening or whatever, when I have a chance, I have those images sitting in their original folders because Hedge is copying what's on the card to the destination folder. Then later on, I can use Capture One Pro, Photos for OS 10, Lightroom, whatever, and import those images into photo management, do my sort, do all my other stuff. And then once I know the images are in two or three different spots, then I can erase the cards. So it's been kind of a nice little workflow because there's that point where you're walking around after a big shoot and you have the card and you go, I don't really feel like doing all the cataloging in Lightroom right now. I don't feel like doing all that stuff, but I feel weird just having this stuff on the card right now. I'd like to have it somewhere else. I think that's where Hedge for Mac works really well. It hardly takes any time at all. So you get the images onto a safe place, and then you can decide later what to do with them. That night, the next day, whenever you have time. Then you can do your Lightroom import where you're adding keywords and metadata, all that kind of stuff. That's the thing that has been really cool about. Now, according to them, according to Hedge for Mac folks, it's the fastest app for importing and backing up media on OS X. And that's raw files, that's audio files, That's movie files, all that stuff. You can import multiple sources to multiple destinations at the same time. So let's take that scenario where you're coming back from Europe and you got a bunch of cards and you want it on many drives, not just one drive. You want to do a backup where it's going to drive A, drive B, and drive C all at the same time. Hedge can handle that for you. It can handle those multiple inputs and those multiple destinations all at once. Very important feature. In the premium version, they have something called Fastlane, and it is a blazingly fast engine. Now, the thing that I've noticed is Hedge can only go as fast as the media that you're using, both on the source and the destination. So if you really want fast transfer times, you really want to take advantage of Hedge, then make sure that your destination and your media is also fast. And then that way, because you're going to have lowest common denominator. If your destination drive is slow, or if your card is slow, then Hedge can only go as fast as what that will allow. But if everything's fast, Hedge is definitely fast too. And it's optimized for files 100 megabytes or larger. So that means if you got big video files or whatever, you're really going to notice the difference between using Hedge and the Finder. Everything is cross-verified with the original. This just happens in real time. And it has support for NAS drives, RAID drives, and uploading to cloud providers. So a cloud provider can be a destination on this. Doesn't have to be an external drive. So basically, whatever you're using for a destination, Hedge can talk to it and it will maximize the transfer experience. And then finally, you can use scripts to sort, transcode, rename, tag your media, all that kind of stuff. So it is script friendly. So it's pretty cool. So there's a free version and a premium version of Hedge. Go to this URL, Hedge for Mac. HedgeForMac, hedgeformac.com/TDS. TDS. That's short for the digital story. HedgeForMac.com/TDS. The reason why is if you go there and you go for the premium version, you'll save 20%. You save 20% off the premium version. The premium version is a professional level application. It's $99, I believe. So you can save $20 off that by using this URL. Or you can try out the free version and see what you think. The premium version gives you the full Hedge experience with Fastlane copies, unlimited simultaneous transfers, plus NAS and RAID support. So that's what you get with the premium version. You basically get everything else with the free version. Regardless of what your budget is, if you're transferring a lot of stuff or you want to do a workflow like I talked about here, then I think you want to at least try the free version and get a feel for this application. It's pretty cool stuff. Hedge for Mac. Do you have a film story to share? So just a quick note here that if you love film photography and like to be featured on theanalogstory.com, just send me a few paragraphs about why you love shooting film and then up to 6 film-based pictures to theanalogstory@gmail.com. It's it goes in the viewpoint section on The Analog Story. And I don't know if you've gone over there and taken a look at viewpoint. I love it. I love these people sharing their images and sharing their stories about why they like shooting film. And there's all sorts of different reasons. It's not the same thing. And if you have a passion for film, I'd love for you to be a part of this section. And if you're curious about film or want to know more about it, go over to theanalogstory.com. In the quickies section, I update that thing about 5 times a week. All sorts of things going on. I mean, there's stuff going on all over the internet about film right now. It is truly experiencing a resurgence. I cover those in quickies. I cover cool cameras, you know, the Minolta SRT-101, Yashica FX3 Super 2000, all these kinds of cameras in the cool camera section. I got a surprise for you coming up here pretty soon. I'm not even going to talk about it right now, that we should be able to launch in about another 10 days. It's a cool place to hang out. Go over there and take a look. All right, here, just a couple updates. Big week for me last week. The Apple Photos book for photographers was released by Rocky Nook. I have been talking about it on the show, and it's out. Yay! So what we're doing is we're doing the ebook version. We're going to see what happens at WWDC, and then we'll do the print version later on this year. You can get the ebook right now that covers the editing extensions, that covers all sorts of stuff. It covers how to design a workflow. There's a lot. I wrote this book to be a book, not a guide. So every chapter starts out with an anecdote. I don't know. I just think it's a neat book. I like it a lot. And it's available now, the ebook. And you can save $5 off the price if you use the coupon code APPLE15, APPLE15. That will get you the book for $15. $15. And you just use it in the spot when you're checking out for coupons. Apple 15 will get you the book for $15. It's the Apple Photos book for photographers. I have a link to it in the show notes. Or you can just go to rockynook.com and order it there. I'm optimistic that we'll be talking about photos for OS 10 on next week's show, based on what was announced at WWDC. This is a very exciting time. I've got a great game plan to help you get the most out of photos right now, and then to help you get the most out of photos up the road too. So anyway, the Apple Photos book for photographers is also available on Amazon.com. But the coupon code doesn't work there. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the one-stop shopping for all of your inkjet printing needs. Paper, envelopes, glassine sleeves, greeting cards, fine art greeting cards, ink for your inkjet printer for Canon or Epson. I mean, this is the place to go. Red River Paper. We have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Take a look at their sample packs. If you're not sure what kind of paper you want to print with, get a sample pack and try out these different surfaces. And then when you find one that you really like, then order a box of that. Make sure you have it on hand, because the worst thing in the world is when you're going, you know what? I can make a print for that person right now and take it over to their house tonight. And then you go to the inkjet printer and you're either out of ink or you're out of paper or you're out of both. And then your whole plan just gets deflated. Don't let that happen to you. Make sure that you're stocked up and ready to go, so that when that moment of inspiration strikes, or that moment of desperation, you're ready to go. Because as photographers, we have the ability to do something that a lot of other people can't do, and that is create art right there on the spot. All right, Red River Paper, like I said, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and there's usually a nice little offer there too. Okay, that's gonna do it for me this week. Next week, next Monday, is Worldwide Developer Conference. I'm sure there's going to be announcements there that I'm going to incorporate into the podcast, whether it relates to photos for OS 10 or something else. That remains to be seen. So come back next week. I'll bring you up to speed. I'll give you my interpretation. And I'm hoping I have some good news for all of us. Alrighty, until then, have a great week. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye now.